119 verse 49. See if you can pick up the divisions and the pattern of the psalmist's speech here. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word has quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Hara have taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I remember thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. Did you see anything in there as we went through?
Remembering.
You got the word remember. You got verse what?
49.
Verse 49.
52.
Verse 52.
And
55. And verse 55. Everybody see that? Okay, and there's actually a division here about remembering. In verse 1, it's a request. In the other two verses, he's saying he has remembered. Okay, so in verse 1, you got the request, and then you got the fact that he has remembered. You got another word here, and that is the word comfort. You see that in verse 50? This is my comfort in my affliction. And in verse 52, he has been what? He has been comforted myself. So he remembered the judgments, and therefore he received comfort out of that. And so what we have here is a distressed psalmist, right? Whenever you're talking about comfort, you're talking about a person that's troubled, okay? So the first thing we want to see here is what he's troubled about, okay? Because the fact of the matter is that you and I have been troubled about the very same things, okay? Let's look at that trouble. Let's look at that agitation that is there. Look in verse 50. What is the phrase in verse 50 that would describe his agitation? Yeah, the word affliction, right? It says, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. He is being afflicted. He is being troubled. Have you ever been troubled? Okay, some of you might say, well, there are a few times I haven't been troubled, okay? But that affliction, this is something that's afflictive. We have our normal troubles of life, and we kind of bear under those, right? But here we have an affliction that's really coming upon us, coming and weighing down on the psalmist so much so that he's gone to the Word of God, and the Word of God has had to what? What does it say in verse 50? Well, it did give him comfort, but it had to quicken him, right? It had to make him what? Make him alive, which means he was afflicted to the point where he felt what on the inside? He felt dead on the inside. You ever felt empty, alone, kind of dead? Like, why am I dead? You know, here I am. I'm a believer. I know the Lord. And even the psalmist would say, you know, why is my soul cast down? I shouldn't be cast down. I should be hoping in the Lord. But he feels that inside of his own spirit. So the first thing we know about his agitation is that he is really troubled about something. All right, look in verse 51. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. What is he disturbed about? Well, there's a certain kind of person out there that's bothering him. How does the scripture describe him? As proud. Okay, everybody see that? The proud have had me greatly in derision. Okay, he's the subject of this. Okay, now what's a prideful person? We're all prideful to some degree, aren't we? Okay, but usually, even fallen men and women, when they meet something that's really someone that's really prideful, they'll pick it up and they'll say it, right? They'll say, "Boy, that person is arrogant." You ever met someone like that? Hopefully, it's not in the house of God, and hopefully, it's not in the mirror. Okay, but they'll say, "Boy, that person is really arrogant. He is really upset because of a group of people, and a group of people that are characterized by the word proud." Okay, look at verse 51 again. "The proud have had me greatly..." Now, what's the next two words? What does that mean? Yeah, someone here says, well, they're making fun of him. Well, that's certainly a part of this, right? Okay, when you say a person is in derision, you're talking about that someone is coming against them and they are scoffing them, okay? They are using their mouth to really go after them or slay them, to be sarcastic toward them, to put them, what? To put them down, okay? Sometimes proudful people will do this in such a way that they would actually encourage others to cast scorn on you, okay? Because prideful people, they never like to be by themselves, because what really strengthens their pride is when other people agree with them. Right? Okay. You know, I can be arrogant about something, but if I get four or five other people tell me that my arrogancy is right, then I'm really strong about that. Okay? And that's why the Bible says, don't follow a multitude to do evil. Okay? Because you're only strengthening the hands of the evildoer, among other things. So what has been going on here, there is a group of people who are characterized by the word proud in verse 51, and those proud people are having him in derision. They're scoffing him. Okay? Now, let's look at another passage. Look at verse 53. How does he characterize the people there? They are called the wicked. It says, "Hara have taken hold upon me because of the wicked who have forsaken" what? The law of God. Okay. Now we're talking about Israel. We're talking about that Mosaic law. And so what we have here is this. Now think about this. You got a group of people who are acquainted with the law. Okay, if they weren't acquainted with the law, then they couldn't abandon it. Okay, they're acquainted with the law. All right, and maybe at one time, we don't know, but maybe at one time they were walking therein. Okay, but what did they do in their life? They left it. They forsook it. They abandoned it to go their own what? To go their own way. And the Bible calls that type of person wicked. Now the psalmist had looked upon that, didn't he? Okay? And what came up in his soul? Hara. Okay? Everybody see that? I like the way it's worded here. Hara hath taken hold upon me. Okay? It's like it tackled him, right? Okay? It's like it's hiding off on the side of the road and it's stalking you and it's not on you, but you're coming by and you behold something. You behold this group of people called the wicked that have abandoned the law of God. And it's like that personage named Hara jumps out of the ditch and what? Seizes you. Okay. Have you ever had feelings and emotions in your soul that you didn't ask for, but they've gotten a hold of you? And you can sit down and say to yourself, "I don't want that," and it's still there. You can say, "I don't like that," but it's still there. You can even say, "Get out of here," but it's still what? It's just still there. to the place where you finally come to your senses and say, I need to get the Lord to do something in my heart. Because He can remove it, can He? Okay? But here's a person where that hara has taken upon him. Now, the Hebrew word for the word hara here literally means burning. Okay? So what kind of hara is this? What kind of hara would it be that would burn inside of you? Have you ever burned? What's happening to you? Well, let me ask you this. When you burn on the inside, are you loving? Okay, what's happening? Yeah, you're what? You're angry. Okay, this is what had seized upon the psalmist. He had looked upon the wicked. They had forsaken what? The law of God. And he looked upon that, and what seized his soul was a raging fire inside of him. You ever had that? Well, folks, you know what? We're living in days like this, aren't we? Let me ask you this. Is the Church of God today afflicted? Are we in the majority? Is the Church of Jesus Christ today being derided by government, by governmental rulers that have been elected to that place? Are they being scorned? Increasingly so. I talk to people out there, you know, and they'll make statements like this. They'll talk to me for a little while, and I'll try to bring it around to salvation or Christ, and they'll say, "You're not one of those born-again people, are you?" I mean, just like that. I mean, decades ago, you wouldn't hear things like that. Or even as a pastor, I go into situations and there's no respect for even the office of a pastor. Those days are what? Those days seemingly are behind us, isn't it? And brethren, where's this coming from? When you think about our nation, you think about the laws that are being twisted, and you think about all that is being forsaken, and you think about all the deriding that's going on, how would you characterize people like that? Well, you'd have to say they're prideful people, wouldn't you? And their pride is not merely against us, their pride is against God. Okay? Would you call, don't name any names or offices, but can you recall anybody in state, local, federal government who has derided such things? Can you think about that person and ask yourself this question? Is this coming out of pride? Arrogancy? And you got to say what? You got to say yes. Okay? And those people there, verse 53, here we are as the people of God. The psalmist is a believer. Okay? He looks upon the wicked that have what? Forsaken the law. In other words, what has happened here is this. They have moved from being mindful of the law, and they have moved now to being without law. Okay. Does that characterize people today? As being lawless? Okay. I mean, we have laws in our country, right? Voted on constitutionally. That people raise their hand, put their hand on the Bible, and say that they're going to abide by the Constitution and uphold the laws of the land. And we have rulers standing up now and saying, "Hey, I don't like that law. So I'm not going to uphold it." Does that shock you? When you hear this over and over and over, isn't there something inside of you that kind of burns about this? Like, how can you do that? Last time I heard, or at least this is what I was taught, a law is a law. Yes? Okay. For example, and this is public, we have a similitude of a national health care. We have governmental rulers who just say, well, we can't meet that law, so we'll just change it. Now, you can change the law in our country if you go where? If you go to Congress. That's where the laws are made. Okay? But I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's the Supreme Court. I don't care if it's the president. I don't care if it's you or I. We just can't arbitrarily say, hey, don't like that one. Right? A law is a law, and it has a penalty associated with it. So now we have people all over full of pride and arrogancy who say, well, if I don't like the law, then I just won't do it. Is that right? You know, we look back and see something like that, and as believing people, should we obey the law? Yes, unless it's against the law of God. Okay? We should obey the law. And so let's say you obey the law, but somebody else doesn't like you obeying the law. And then they take you to court, and the judge doesn't obey the law. Now, how does that make you feel? You're really burning on the inside because that situation has been unjust. Am I right? Okay. When you go to the courts, you're expecting, now you understand man's fallible and all this, but you're expecting, if the law says this, you're expecting people to rule by the law. Our country's founded that way. We were founded upon rule by law. Okay. And so what is happening here is that the psalmist has stepped here, it's directed toward him personally, but I'm just going to use the word believers. Whatever the situation is, the psalmist has looked out on some type of national events. If this is David, it could have been in his court. Could have been a group of people that are rising up against him. Could have been anywhere. But it's something going on in the national scheme of things in Israel. And that national event, which was happening in that nation, agitated him. It troubled him. It disturbed him. He said, it's in my affliction, verse 50. It was something that was caused by prideful people. Prideful people actually glory in the fact they get away with it, so they think. And those prideful people are attacking believing people. They're attacking this believer, aren't they? And they're talking bad about him, and they're insulting him, and they're just increasing their arrogancy against God and against his people. To the fact that a believer, verse 53, would actually look around and say, you know, there's a mass of people that are wicked, and they have abandoned the law of God. They're not law-keeping people anymore. They are lawless people. Now, brethren, we know something about that, don't we? And our forefathers knew something about that. I think back in England about the great persecutions in the 1800 and all the laws that were passed against God's people and God's churches. God's men, many of them suffered greatly. Some of them were burned at the stake. Is that just? Okay. And arrogant people gloried in that. But their day came, didn't it? And so, brethren, I just want us to know that this section here is not something, you know, distant from us. This is something in the now and now. And so we have this agitation, this affliction, this troubling national events that was coming against the psalmist. Secondly, what was his response to that? Well, his first response was prayer. And I want you to look at verses 49 and 50. It starts off with prayer, doesn't it? He says, remember, now who's he talking to? He's talking to the Lord. Remember the word unto your servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word hath quickened me. Okay. He's burning in rage. He's agitated. He's being scorned. And what does he do? Tell me, what does he do? What does he do first? This is even before he prays. What does he do? Well, he goes to the Word of God, doesn't he? You see that? Remember the Word. Okay, verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your Word hath quickened me. Okay, he goes to the Bible, either literally in the scrolls or in his mind, what he has taught and learned and meditated upon, he goes to that word and he finds comfort because this word is from God. And that turns into prayer. Verse 49, and he prays, Lord, remember the word that you gave to your servant. You ever prayed that way? You ever gone to the Lord and said, Lord, here's this situation, and I am so troubled or I'm so disturbed about this, and Lord, I've looked in your word to see your ways, and you're not like that, and here's the promises of God that you've given to me. Lord, remember what you said to me. Okay. Now, does God ever forget? He doesn't forget, right? But we're finite creatures. And he's talking to God as if he was talking to a fellow man or a fellow ruler above him in authority. My kids sometimes, you know, I would make promises, you know, to my children. They'd say, Dad, do you remember? Okay. Or if they were trying to get out of trouble, they'd say, but you said, you remember? Okay. Or have you ever had this, man, where your wife quotes what you said back to you? Okay. Or vice versa. Right? What are you saying to that person? Well, remember what you said. Right? Okay. Why is that? Because we what? We forget. Now, brethren, the psalmist, this had come against him and come against him and come against him, and that affliction had gone on for some period of time to the place where he actually goes to the Lord and says, Lord, remember? Okay? And brethren, that's what we need, don't we? Doesn't the Church of Jesus Christ today in America need to go to the Word to find out how to respond to what's happening in our culture? And then doesn't the Church of God, once that Word has been laid out before them, don't they need to pray and say, Lord, remember what you said? Instead of just sitting around grumbling about it. We're good grumblers, myself included. But may our grumbling become less and may our praying be more. And so he says, remember the word unto thy servant upon which you have caused me to hope. What did that word do to him? It encouraged him, didn't he? Remember what we learned in 2 Corinthians? Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all comfort and mercy. Why? Because to the degree of our suffering, our affliction, is the degree of our our comfort. And that comfort is mediated through the Word of God by the Spirit of God. And so he's gone to that Word, he's prayed based on that Word, and he comes out of this and says, remember the Word, because it's your Word that has given me an encouraging, it's lifted up my spirit to really be confident that you're going to do what you said to do. Brother, I want to remind you that when God works in our heart to lift up our hearts, it's because he really is lifted up about that situation. Right? It's the Spirit of God that is encouraging us. He's not encouraging us so that we won't see the Word fulfilled. He's encouraging us to strengthen our faith, to endure, so that we will see His promises come to pass. Right? And so it's, remember the Word unto thy servant upon which you have caused me to hope. Verse 50. That Word is my comfort in my affliction. Why is it my comfort? Because it's the Word of God, the promise of God that has quickened me to believe, to wait, to pray, to say, Lord, remember. Okay, now that's where we're at in our nation, isn't it? Okay. So the prayer request is that God would what? Remember what he had said to his servant. Okay, everybody see that? All right. That's the only prayer in this section. What we have secondly, thirdly in this section is this. What is the foundation behind the request? In other words, what's motivating him? Okay. What is he going to use as the reason why God should remember the word that he's given to him, that same word that has made him alive? What's motivating this prayer? Okay. Now, certainly what's motivating it is the wicked, right? The wicked are afflicting him. Okay. But that's the reason for everything that's happening. Okay. What is it? What is the basis of this request that God would remember? Well, is this. Are you ready for this? He's saying, Lord, remember, because he remembers. That's why he's saying that. Look at verse 52. I what? I remembered your judgments. Look in verse 55. I've remembered what? I remembered your name. Okay? You see how this works out? He starts off by saying, Lord, remember the word that you've given to me. Because there's wicked people. That's the cause of everything that's happening. But the prayer is based upon the fact, I remembered your judgments and I remembered your name. And brethren, when you remember, you're on sound footing to go to God and ask him to remember. Okay. Everybody see that? This is just a beautiful, beautiful psalm that is directly applicable for us today. Let's look at those two remembrances. Look in verse 52 through verse 54. He says, I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Verse 54. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Okay, this is a blessing. Okay. What did the psalmist remember? What did God's people remember? His what? His judgments. His judgments where? Of old. Okay, where did he see those at? The word judgment refers to God's decisions. Where do you see God's decisions? Well, you see it in your Bible, don't you? Okay? He's not trying to read the providences that's going on, because as far as the providence that he sees out there, There's proudful people that are deriding him. There's wicked people that are growing in their lawlessness in the land of Israel. Okay, that's what he sees out there. Okay, but he goes into his Bible and he looks at Deuteronomy. He looks at Leviticus. He looks at Numbers. He looks at 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th Kings, if you're in your Hebrew text. 1st and 2nd Kings. And so he's there looking at how God dealt with things when? In the past. Okay, everybody see that? In other words, there were things that came up. Let's take this book. Let's take Judges. Okay? Judges, when I read Judges, I get so depressed. Especially the end of that book. Okay? What happens in Judges? Well, they're doing okay with Joshua, right? And the Bible says that the generation after Joshua, they walked with God. Okay, then what happened? Well, they grew prideful, didn't they? And they forsook the law of God, didn't they? Okay? And God brought them into physical bondage that illustrated their spiritual bondage. Isn't that what God did? Okay? That was God's decision about that. Okay? But he also, after that, showed mercy, didn't he? And he actually delivered them from that. And then Israel, they'd walk with the Lord for a while, right? Okay, then what would happen? They'd get arrogant, they'd get prideful, they'd get stiff-necked against God, they'll go their own way, every man doing what's right in his own eyes. And what happened? Tell me, what did God do? He brings them into what? He brings them right back into bondage. Are you picking up a pattern here? See, the psalmist is going back and he's looking at God's judgments, what he did in certain situations. And he remembers those judgments, and with those judgments, look at verse 52, he what? He comforted himself. Okay, so let's take it from one of two situations. If this is at the beginning, before God sends them off into bondage, and the arrogancy and the lawlessness in the land is really high, okay? Brethren, if that's going to happen, we need God to do something, don't we? Okay? What's God going to do? Well, he's going to bring that into judgment. That's comforting. It's comforting because God's going to do something. Right? Brethren, he's not going to let the lawless prosper forever. He's not going to let the wicked prosper forever, is he? No, he's going to do something. Okay? Let's say it's at the other end. Let's say that there's been bondage and all this. Is God merciful to raise up a deliverer? Can he send revival? Can he rescue his churches? Is he mighty? Is his arm waxed short and he can't save? Well, that's encouraging too, isn't it? Okay? And that's what's happening in the psalmist. He's looking at that national situation. It so disturbed him that he burned with anger. It afflicted him. Okay? And he goes back to the Word of God, and he remembers the judgments that God had did from old, because now he knows God isn't going to be silent. He is doing something. And that comfort comes to him to this degree. Look at verse 54. How do we know he's comforted? He what? He sings. Right? You know, we're not good singers when we're depressed. Right? Unless you're doing minor key everything. Okay? All right? If you go to a person that's depressed and afflicted, you know, and you go up to them and say, slap them on the back and say, all things work together for good, shape up, sing a little while. They're like, right? They don't want to what? Okay? But when the comfort from God comes and quickens them, makes them alive, the comfort that the psalmist received was expressed in what he sung. What did he sing? Well, look at the text. It wasn't holy, 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 but it might be close. What did he sing? Yeah, he sang the word of God, didn't he? It says, "Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage." The word of God. And brethren, we got a songbook in our Bible. Okay? And, you know, one of my burdens for the house, for God's people, is to sing the Psalms. All right? That's what he's singing. Now, where's he singing it? In the house of my what? Pilgrimage. Well, that could refer to the tabernacle. That was called the house of God, wasn't it? Okay. It could be his own house. Okay. But I think it's probably, and I could be wrong, but I think it's referring to his human body. This is the house of my pilgrimage, isn't it? Okay? You got one too. All right? And isn't that what it says in the New Testament? Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart, the house of your pilgrimage. Okay? So I don't know if he's voicing all this, but he's definitely what? Something's happened inside of him. And what's happening is that God has comforted his heart, encouraged his spirit that has been cast down. In spite of the burning out there, the burning has fled away, at least at this point, and what has come out of now is song, it's melody in their heart. And then the last basis, verses 55 and 56, he says, "I remembered who God is." And we need to remember that, don't we? Who is God? You think he's afraid of all these arrogant people? Do you think he's up there and say, I can't believe that United States, federal, state, and local God. I just can't believe what they're doing. What am I going to do? Okay, that's us. That's not God. Okay. He remembered his what? His name. That is who he is. Even when the derision came, and even when the burning anger of what he saw, the lawlessness of that nation, even though that derision and the horror of mind that he had kept him up at night. Look at verse 55. "I remember thy name, O Lord," when? In the night. Have you ever been so afflicted you can't sleep? Have you ever burned so much about the lawlessness and the sin of the land that it just robs you of the peace to go to sleep? So there he is on his bed. What do you remember? Who God is. Okay. And when he remembered who God was, even in the night, it motivated him to do what? Look at verse 55. Say that a little louder. What did you say, Shirley? Yeah, but what's happening all around him? They're not keeping the law. They're forsaking the law, but when he remembers the name of his God, who he is, it motivates him to keep the law. And isn't that true for us? When we remember our Savior, it motivates us to be obedient believers. Even in the midst of all this trial, and he says in verse 56, he said, "I had this because he what?" Yeah. In other words, God's when the psalmist thought about who God was, it strengthened him to obey the commandments of God and to walk therein. Why did he have that? Well, verse 56, because he had obeyed God's commandments. In other words, brethren, the reason why God strengthened him to not be lawless, not to abandon the law, but to keep the law, was because prior to these events, he was walking in the law. That's why he had it. Okay. He was walking the law before the events happened, so that when he went into the events, okay, and he remembered who God was, God strengthened his heart to continue to obey his commandments, even though he had been afflicted and shook about what's happening around him. And brethren, that is very instructive for us. And I've said this many times. If you walk with the Lord when things are peaceful, you'll be strengthened to walk in with the Lord when things get hard. But if you don't walk with the Lord when things are easy, he's not going to strengthen you to walk with him when things are hard. And that is just, isn't it? Everybody see that? All right, now let's wrap this up. We got all these circumstances going on. We got a prayer. We got the basis of the prayer. And basically, it goes something like this. Lord, people are abandoning your law. And this makes me angry. They're scorning me. They're putting me down. They're deriding me. They're holding me up in their little group of prideful people and laughing at me. Okay. But Lord, in the midst of all this, I remembered your word. And I was strengthened in my inner man. And when I was so disturbed, even when I laid down my head at night, I remembered who you are. And when I did that, you strengthened my resolve to say, in spite of all that's happening, I'm going to walk in the ways of the Lord. And you did this because I was walking with you before this happened. Now, Lord, I remembered who you are. And I remembered your decisions. So, Lord, I remembered. Now, Lord, will you remember? And brethren, if God's put it in your heart to remember, you can be rest assured he is remembering. Right? So, Lord, I've remembered, and you've strengthened me, and you've even brought this all to my mind. So, Lord, remember what you've said. Remember the word that you've given to me. And Lord, with that, I am confidently expecting you to do exactly what you've done in the past again. And that is my comfort. That in my situation of injustice, you will be just. And you will vindicate the righteous. And you will sweep away the wicked. One day, forever. Let's pray. Our Father, we are grateful that we can trust you, that we are